know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening to Community Living Radio here on NCRA Networks, and maybe you're listening to us via Spreaker on our podcast version or any of our other syndicated stations such as CFRO, CITR, or CHLY in Nanaimo. Today is going to be an interesting show. We have with me today, on the phone, Denise Baylil, and hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, and she is a certified healing coach and serenity expert. Denise, are you there? Denise, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do we have a bad habit on this show of butchering people's names? Did I pronounce it right this time?
Denise Baylil, this is my name.
Okay, I got close.
Baylil. Yeah.
So what does it mean to be a serenity expert, and how does that help with like the healing coaching and things?
Well, I call myself a serenity expert because I like to be positive. I like to bring positive in my world, in the world of people I work with. So instead of calling myself like a stress reduction coach or a stress reduction expert, I found to talk more about the positive, which is what I want, what my client wants, and what I want to help them achieve is for them to become more serene and peaceful in their life.
Wow.
So that's why the serenity expert is there for, and what it's like is to just empower people to look at different avenues in their life and allow them to eliminate some triggers and to add some more positive behavior in their life also.
Wow. So, one, how did you get down the the path of serenity yourself, because I imagine one has to follow the path of serenity if you want others to come with you, right?
Yeah, you got to walk the walk, fall a few times, walk the walk, fall again, and learn from all these mistakes, right?
Right.
And like from a young age, I've always been fascinated with meditation and relaxation and learning more about health in general. And that made it so that I created for myself like a life of, you know, being able to have some tools. I went to some seminars and all that. But then, you know, no life is perfect. And then one day, it didn't stay like that. Like I was living a life where I was working two jobs and trying to make meet ends. You know, I had a relationship that was not necessarily fulfilling me, but I didn't know at the time, because when you're in it, you don't see it. And then I got involved to work with that person, and then it kind of strained my energy from my body. I'm a body work therapist, so it kind of strained my energy away from that. And then amongst all that, I got a lump on my breast. I got diagnosed with, you know, like I didn't have cancer, but I had to do a biopsy. And then I got so stressed out, like with everything that was going on in my life. Like I was like, okay, am I going to have cancer? What's going on? I didn't bargain for that. I had a healthy lifestyle before. How did I get here? And then I watched a video that says it's about like how to cure diabetes in 30 days. And then I had that because I was interested in health, and I had that on my shelf. And then I say, one of my lonely nights that I would, you know, almost cry myself to sleep, like, I said, let's watch that movie. And then all of a sudden, that movie changed my life. Like, my mom died of cancer and diabetes. She had diabetes, and my dad died of cancer. And then I was thinking, I don't want to end up like my mom. I don't want to end up having diabetes in my life. I don't have it now, and I don't want it. I don't want to have cancer. I was waiting for the result of the biopsy, and even if it's a week or two, it seems like a lifetime for people when they're waiting for those results. And yeah. Then what happened is that after I watched that movie, I was thinking, well, if people can cure themselves from diabetes, and especially type 1 diabetes, which everybody says it's non-curable, I'm sure I would be able, if I had cancer, to cure myself from cancer from doing what they've said in that movie, which was adopting a raw food diet and different lifestyle changes, meditation, go back to my meditation and doing some yoga and exercise. So that changed my life. So all of a sudden, I search more. I register to a coaching training course, because at that time I was just doing it to myself. And I say, I need to help other people. I need to move forward and help other people. So I did a couple of coaching courses, and then one thing led to another, and I of course did more research about health, about wellness, how to empower people to become more serene and peaceful, and that's what led me in the end to become a serenity coach.
Wow. So okay, you recovered your body from the possibility of diabetes and we'll assume that the diagnostic was negative.
I didn't have cancer.
Yeah. I was gonna say, but you still had the tumor or growth, however you want to say it, right?
It was benign.
Yeah. So how did you? How much of it was diet? I guess, and how much of it was, because you talked a lot about meditation and all that, and say how much of it was meditation and changing your mindset to something that was way more positive, maybe, and helping eliminating the stress. How much of it was that? How important is that?
Well, I think what's important is the first step that I tell my clients is to become aware of where you are. Once you know, because in order to go somewhere, what do you do first? If you want to go to a restaurant and then they say, oh, how do I get to your place? They'll say, well, where are you? You know, then they can indicate to you which road to take and which path to take and how to get there. So that's the same thing for your own life and for your health or anything you want to change in your life. You need to have a good look of where you are. and what the situation are in your life that are causing you to be stressed or anything like that. So that's one of the big premises that I work with, is people to become more aware, bring awareness to, okay, let's do a roadmap of where you are now and how you got there. And once you know that, like once you open a few doors and you peek through different area of people's life to know, okay, you're that's the situation, and you know, and the awareness of the different habitual things that people are doing without thinking, mm-hmm. that cause them to repeat constantly the same situation and cause them even more stress. So I hope that answers your question.
It's
a combination of everything. Once you're there, then once you know where you are, then it's a question of looking at the things that you do that could be harmful for yourself and how to slowly integrate positive and things that will be more helpful for you. Like slowly integrate little like 10 minutes meditation or mindfulness exercise, or to slowly change your diet. I would never tell anyone, like I'm not a dietitian, first of all, so I don't do major recommendation on diet, but I have enough knowledge from my own experience to give some. But I would never tell someone to go from being an omnivore to eat everything and lots of meat and that to go straight to being a raw foodist, for example, right? That right. eats only fruit, vegetables, nuts, and seeds.
Yeah.
They would go crazy because it's like a huge step.
Yeah.
But my idea is to go slowly, take baby step, one little thing at a time. Sometimes it looks so insignificant that people say, well, yeah, of course I can do that. Well, okay, do it. Because then they have a success. They move the big locomotive that helped them eventually have a momentum that baby step become a little bit bigger because it gets easier once you're in motion.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I call my coaching like in motion coaching. And that's why I feel that it's important just to have that little momentum, that little movement that brings people forward and have successes. Once you start to have success in your life, you want to do it again and you want more of it.
Right. So the other thing I was curious about, because people do tend to carry around a lot of stress, and some of that stress becomes a distraction away from listening to your own body. So, how do you help people? Like, I hear this. People ask me that when people see me on the street, they ask me about that all the time. And I'm not a coach or anything. Like, I'm just the broadcast guy. The interviews wonderful people.
I can give a really good example of that. Actually, something that I you know, because nobody's perfect, as I said, and we always stumble and get up and continue learning and moving forward. And I'm the perfect example of what happens when you don't listen to the signals that are happening in your life, and then something major happens. So if I may, I'll give you a little example of my situation right now. Is
examples
that okay?
Are wonderful.
Yeah. So I was a couple months ago, a girlfriend of mine contacted me and say, "Hey, let's I have a timeshare. Let's go to Hawaii." And we'll rent a car and we can, you know, visit and relax and all that. And I haven't taken a vacation in a long, long time because I'm self-employed. And then when you don't work, you don't make money. So it's the whole idea of if you talk to any self-employed person, it's always a struggle mentally to say, well, I know I need a relaxation. My body's crying for me to shut off the phone, shut off the internet, and just relax. But then you're like, well, but I have my clients, I have this, I have that. So anyways, I was in a struggle. Eventually, I said, okay, I'm going for it. I'm going to have a vacation. I'm going to go and relax and take some time off, turn off the phone and everything and relax. So then we end up in Hawaii. And what happened is that I didn't want to do, my body wanted to do nothing, but my brain was keeping me active. So I brought my gym clothes, I got up the first morning, put the gym clothes on, went for a run outside, which is great. It's hot, beautiful scenery and all that. So I went for a run, came back home 45 minutes later and showered. We got dressed, we went out to visit one place or the other, and we were busy all day. We did some shopping because we had a little condo, get some food. But then what happened is that the next morning, got up, went to work out. I was like, oh, my knee's hurting. You know, and I never have pain when I run or anything like that ever. So I was like, what's with that? You know, it's weird. So anyway, so instead of running, I went 45 minutes. I walked fast. You know, it was still hurting a little, but it was okay. So anyway, I came back home again, get dressed, shower, go out, go visit this, go visit that, go, nonstop. And so really, I wasn't doing anything to relax, right? So the next morning, I went again for my walk. I came back, and then I again, the same routine, shower, get up, get dressed. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got like a sharp pain between my shoulder blades. And I was like, ow, what's that? And then I start to try to take a deep breath. And each time I was breathing, it's almost like I had a little knife digging into the back of my back. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I had to lay down. You know, like it was so painful. And then I relaxed and I did a little meditation, but I was still not really going away. So I'll say, oh, that'll pass. So through the day, go out, go to the shops, go shopping, do this, do that. But then I told my friend, I said, I got to get back. It's too painful. Then I called, find a chiropractor, you know, take some, you know, ibuprofen to get rid of the pain, go see a chiropractor, crack, you know. And then I didn't really pay attention to those signals. The first signal was my knee. That was like, of course, if you have pain in your legs, it makes you slow down. Then my breathing and my back. So again, it was a signal to tell me to slow down, but I didn't really pay attention to it. I just kept going. Then the chiropractor fixed my back. It was fine. So Saturday morning, we had booked to go do zip lining. So here we go, get up early in the morning. It's an hour and a half away. Drive, get there. We get there. We walk onto, you know, the platform to go zip lining. And then, bang, that's the big alarm. I broke my ankle when coming off of the platform. And then the way I see that, and now I've been pretty much laying down for the last 3 weeks because I have like a walking boot that the doctor told me not to walk on it because he wants the healing to be done properly. But what happened, the moral of that story is that I had the warnings that the legs, the knee that says, okay, slow down, you know, you gotta relax, you're here to relax, you wanted to relax. But I just kept going. And then the back, it was a lot more painful than my knee. And then I didn't listen to it. I just took the pills. I went to see a chiropractor, crack, fixed me up. Right. And I just kept on going. And then my brain was like, whoa, Denise, slow down. I'm going to put you right back on your back, and you're going to take it easy. You need to relax. And here what happened. I broke my ankle. And then, of course, I didn't do much in the last 3 weeks because I can't really walk around. Where I live, I stayed the second week in Maui on my back in my bed. My girlfriend just, you know, went around and took the bus. And she, but the thing is, what happened is that she also, in some ways, was forced to relax. And she said, well, you know, we were going a bit too much, right? I needed that relaxation too. So if we would have really paid attention to the signal initially, we could have had a really beautiful, relaxing vacation. But instead, I was forced to be in bed, and not coincidentally, but at the same time, my girlfriend slowed down because you don't want to do as much stuff on your own when you want to be with someone, right? So, So that was quite interesting, but that's what happened in everybody's life all the time. We have a headache. We take a pill to get the headache go away. We have ulcer or digestive problem. We take the Mylox, you know, and then... or the thumbs, and then say, okay, we'll make it go away, and we have diarrhea, and we take something to stop the diarrhea, or we have constipation, we take something to let it go easily. Mm-hmm. But these are all little signs that are talking to us and giving us messages, and too often, we're not listening to it. And for me, in some ways, I consider myself lucky that these were little signs that put me on my back for maybe, you know, a couple months. But then for other people, they're not as lucky because they develop diabetes, they develop fibromyalgia, they develop cancer, right. And it could be the end.
I've worked with one of our my favorite charities is, of course, as most people know, listening to the show, is the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation. But mm-hmm. one of the things I never discuss, and you actually bring up a good point on this, is just about everybody that I've met that has fibromyalgia, they had a habit of overstressing their body.
Yeah.
Right, and eventually, like you said, your case, it was you were supposed to be relaxing, and you kept go in mm-hmm. Hawaii, but in your ankle broke, and that was what made you finally relax, and you're still relaxing. I think the last time we did a Zoom call or something, you had your boot up on the couch.
Yeah, I still have the boot on. Another 2 weeks before I go see a specialist to tell me that I might be able to start to put weight on it, you know. But it's a burden, but at least it's something that I can repair and go back in my life. It's not like cancer or anything like that, right?
I was going to say that would be the really big foghorn is the cancer or something that another friend was multiple sclerosis. So how do we know I got to get to a break in about a second. So I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to have you answer it when we get back. So how do we know what changes that actually we should start making in our life? And, you know, of course, how do we know which is the right coach for us to start those changes? Because I believe that we all need coaching if we're trying to make really big changes in our life. So when we come back, Denise will answer those questions. Okay. And we'll get to these messages here in a second. Hang on, Denise.
Thank you.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, UBC, Vancouver.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
This year is the 38th annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival in Jericho Beach Park. Over 60 acts from legend Richard Thompson to Blind Pilot, Phosphorescent, and artists from over 14 countries. There's a world of amazing music coming to your own backyard. The Vancouver Folk Music Festival runs from July 17th to 19th. Information and tickets are available at thefestival.bc.ca.
So welcome back, Denise, and welcome back, everybody, to Community Living Radio. We asked you a bunch of questions about how to recognize, of course, we have stress, and how to figure out how to make the right changes so that we can keep our body healthy, and who could be the right person to work with.
Yeah, so what I like to do with my client is too often, like what happened in I guess, with the regular doctor, if you go to a doctor, I'm not a doctor, so don't consider me as a doctor, but like you go to the doctor, you say, I have a headache or I can't sleep. He will give you some pills and he will say, take those pills and then you can sleep better. Or I have stress, they'll give you some pills to reduce anxiety and then you will be in a comatose state and then you'll release your stress. But in my philosophy is to actually to look deeper into, okay, you have a headache or you have, you know, certain discomfort. The reason why you have that, why do people develop cancer? Like each time I ask people that have cancer or had cancer and say, okay, but why did you have cancer? And it just happened. You know, this is statistic. One out of three people will have cancer. I was one of them. I say, yeah, but why? And that people are so surprised when I ask that question. And they're like, well, I don't know. And I say, okay, so let's, and then I go back. Like I say, okay, was there anything, you know, stressful in your life in the last 5 to 10 years? Or, you know, and then sometimes they would say, yeah, my husband died or my kid, you know, had something or I got a divorce or, and then I said, okay, so how did you dealt with that? And it was like, well, it was very painful and I still hold grief or I still hold, you know, like they don't necessarily admit that all the time. But then the more you talk to them, too often, like I, you know, just to bring back those situations and people just start crying because they never dealt with the situation. And that's a stress that is building and building and building inside of them that caused them to, it's an alarm system that they didn't listen to. And eventually it developed into cancer or any other degenerative disease or IBS or, you know, like different health problems that are actually just caused by stress. Because we live in a society where, like, stress become the new normal. Like, you talk to people, oh, yeah, I'm stressed out, but that's, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, with the kids and the family and the work and the husband and whatever, it's just the way it is. It's the new normal. And for me, I'm like, no, that's not true, you know? It doesn't have to be like that. You can live a peaceful and serene life and still be able to function in a society with all the things that are coming around you.
Right. Yeah, I know for myself, right, and people think they my family thought I was kind of nuts for doing this, but I had been given a prescription for Dilantin, which, of course, most people would know that is supposed to lower your blood pressure.
Okay.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, you're serious? And he's like, well, yeah, you have to take this or else you're going to... And he did the scare tactic. Either take this or else you're going to die.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, you'll die of high blood pressure. I'm like...
Uh-huh.
And I just went as like, I packed everything up. I moved across country and found a less... A job that caused my body more stress. And I'm going to stress that it caused my body less stress because what I do may cause somebody else even more stress than what they already have. But yeah, I just listened to what my body and I was like, I need to do this. And my family thought I was kind of nuts. They're like, well, take the medication. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Uh-huh.
So... Is that
yeah, so you listen to your body and you say, okay, what's going on? And then you change certain situation in your life that cause you to reduce the stress, reduce the pressure on your body, and then reduce your blood pressure, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, of course, working with the right coaches and everything, because I did that without a coach, and I wouldn't advise that at all. I would advise going to finding a coach like you to help figure out that path, right?
Yeah.
Because I know that some of the stress comes that we also have the built in through evolution that fight or flight thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your methods would have some benefits to help out with all that, right?
Yes, because for the same reason, like we're having what I call this sustained stress. Mm-hmm. And we live in a state of sustained stress. We're always stressful. Like I give an example of one of my courses that if you drive on the highway and then somebody cuts you off and all of a sudden, like, you have to apply the brake and you get like a jolt of stress and your adrenaline goes up. And in a normal life, normal situation, within 10, 15 minutes, your body will go back to a normal stasis where you're relaxed and you forgot about the incident because it's past, it's behind you and all that. But what happened is a lot of time, maybe that car cutting you off on the highway in your regular life is the only life-threatening situation that caused you stress. But then the pressure at work and the presentation you have to give, or the kids at home that are screaming and crying and having to drive, you know, your kids to soccer, or your sick kid that has to stay home and you have to find a babysitter, or the, you know, your husband, the fight you had the night before, and the coworker that is, you know, like you can't stand seeing that person, and then every time you see it, your blood is turning, you know. And so all these situations are not life-threatening whatsoever, but they cause us to be in a fight-or-flight reaction all the time because we have like all that stress on us and we don't deal with it and we keep building and building and building. So that's why hiring a coach, and with what I do in my life, in my coaching, is I empower people to not to deal with all of that at once, but first I ask people to look at themselves and to give themselves the right to feel these emotions, because too often, and I'm one of those, I've been suppressing so many emotion in my life before and even to this day, as I said, nobody's perfect. I'm still sometimes, you know, repressing some emotion and then building some stress. But we do that so much. We keep it inside. We keep it inside, and the pressure builds, and the pressure builds, and eventually it's like a pipe that bursts. And when that pipe bursts, then you try to fix it. You put a Band-Aid on it, but that Band-Aid doesn't hold. And even if it was to hold, then it will blow up somewhere else because we're not dealing with that situation. And then we end up like with a flood in our basement and in our house because we don't deal with the situation. We just try to put Band-Aid on our problem. So that's why with a coach, what it does is it, and what I do is it, I allow people to, instead of putting Band-Aid, is to find the tap to turn the water off. Stop that pressure from building and pushing you to the edge and exploding.
Right.
So we look down inside. You know, I don't do any like regression work, anything like that, but it's so easy. When you open the door and you just look through, the signs are there, and it doesn't take a mad scientist, you know, or a Zen master to deal with those situations. It's just little steps, you know, while taking little step at a time, it allows you to really look into it and say, oh, okay, I can deal with this right now. And then you deal with it and you put it aside and that's it. And then you take another one. Oh, okay, no, I cannot deal with this right now. Okay, let's cut it down a little bit. Let's put a little bit less. And then with the clients, it's not me that tells them what to do. The clients actually knows what needs to be done the majority of the time. But it's the support, the accountability, the friendship, because I'm there. I'm like, I'm their buddy. Like, yes, you can call me anytime you need help. Give me a call. We'll talk. Or send me an email and I'll reply. Or, you know, I'm there for them. Often people don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody to share their experience because they feel too vulnerable, right?
Well, I like that you use the word vulnerable because so many people are afraid, oh, vulnerable is weak. But vulnerable is really a point of strength,
isn't
it?
It's human, yes. It's being human.
Yeah. So, and I guess some other hidden benefits to you doing the coaching that you do is like you have the ability to call up and say, because a coach is like a best friend, but only better, because I could call the coach up and say, they will call and say, well, did you really do that work that I told you to do? Whereas your best friend can't do that.
And also what happened is that I found that some clients, they, like I had a client lately, and she has, you know, like she had, because I think she's much better now, but she had like depression and in bed all the time, and she had had a lumpectomy on her breast because she was diagnosed with cancer, and they wanted her to do radiation, and in her heart she felt that she didn't want to do that. I didn't tell her not to do it, but in her heart she was saying, I don't feel it's right, I don't feel I need that. And I supported her in her decision, but then she was very depressed in general, and then she wanted to get up and start dancing and do this and do the cleanup and all that. I said, no, you know, the first step, well, how about you just get out of bed and get dressed, even if you go sit on the couch in the living room. And for her, it was like a light bulb. It's like, just that? And I say, yeah, just do that. Don't go and start to clean up the house and, you know, do this and do that and do laundry, and because you'll crash right back down and you'll fall down even further. Because people are they want to conquer the world as opposed to just take a few steps. And when you take those few steps, then you feel a lot more better about yourself.
Yeah, well, it's good that you, isn't it good that you tell people that, because one of the things about stress is, okay, wow, that feels good that you let that go, and then they pile so much stuff back on again.
Yes,
you know,
that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
and that's why I'm there to. It's like a buffer, right? I say, mm-hmm. No, slow down. It's right. Okay. You know, you've been stressed for years. It's okay if it takes 6 months or a year to go back to a non-stressed person. But
right.
Slowly you'll feel better and better. You cannot become like a serene person from one day to the other.
Right. Yeah. The idea that you're on the path may be the light switch, but the path takes, it's one step at a time, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I recommend my clients to take at least a minimum of 4 months of coaching, because you cannot resolve a lifelong situation in two sessions. You know, you need at least 4 months minimum to move forward by taking those baby steps. And a lot of time people will take a little bit more and they feel okay with that.
Yeah.
But by committing to a baby step, then it doesn't put any pressure on them, and naturally people will do more, right? Because they feel confident, they don't put too much pressure, they know when it's too much pressure, and then they stop as they're being coached and supported in their changes.
Yeah. Well, you're reminding me of that cliche, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Exactly.
It takes time to build your life to be resilient and stress free, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, I know this is going to be an elongated answer, and I might actually have to cut you off in the middle of it, but this is
okay.
A really important question, because okay. Most people, they can't even imagine what serenity or being stress-free looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that start to look like? What does it start to look like for somebody?
I think it starts to look like, for example, somebody that, I'm just going to give one quick example, and then I'm sure there'll be break, and then I can give more.
Okay.
Like somebody that has, like I was saying, that people bottle up emotion, and then they have situations that arise to them, and instead of, they say, oh, that's not the right time to talk about that, I'll talk about it later, but that later never comes, and that emotion stays inside, and it builds up, and it builds up, and they never think it's the right time to talk to people about it. And then it builds up and builds up. So what serenity would look like is never to wait for the right time. If you have something that needs to be said in order for you not to bottle up some emotion, then that's what I help people doing, is that just don't scream, don't pull your hair out unless you really have to, but just mention it. It's just a different way of communication. You know, if you tell me this, like, it, let's say it's a situation with a coworker, and then you just bottle it up, and you say, well, and then all of a sudden, the situation arises again. You've been coached, and you feel comfortable. Say, you know, Joe, when you act like that, it makes me feel so uncomfortable and so stressed out about this situation. I would really appreciate if we could come to an accord where this wouldn't happen anymore. And then Joe will look at that person and say, what's with you? You know, like I've been doing that forever. Say, yes, but it's been stressing me out forever. And now I'm dealing with it, and I would like you to not do that. And then and it's on Joe's side now, you know, because you let it out. You let it go. You said your piece. And now it's up to Joe to change it. But at least you're not bottling it up inside again, right? Mm-hmm. So all these little situations, I coach people to how to bring it up and how to use different languages, not to be accusing people, but just to talk about your own emotion, how to express yourself without accusing other people, but more showing up and being vulnerable and saying, I'm hurting when you say that. And not saying, you hurt me. It's like, no, I'm hurting. And I just wanted to let you know. You know, this is how I feel when this situation arises and we go there. I don't feel appropriate. I feel inadequate, or I'm hurting, or I want to cry. And I think that's one way that people can start becoming more serene. And I've seen several people being able to slowly, by expressing themselves, it's really so much stress, because you don't carry that load on you and on your shoulder anymore. Because now the ball is on the other person's camp, because you express yourself, and now it's up to them to deal with it.
Right. Okay, I am going to cut you off right about there, and we'll get back to what serenity looks like. And we're speaking to Denise Bailil, and thank you for listening to here on Community Living Radio. We'll be right back. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, UBC, Vancouver.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here.
God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed back.
Ugh. Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
Denise Bailil, and she is a serenity expert. Denise, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, we were going through what serenity looks like, and that was a really good example. The very first one, that was a really good example of how you can just get that off your chest about somebody doing something that, in a workplace, that makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yes, and it could be also in your relationship with your kids, you know. Like, in any time you have something that you keep inside, that will just build up stress over time, because it's not the only one thing you keep inside. There's more. And another way that serenity could be achieved is by what I do with my clients is I have some tools. I have meditation recording. I have different exercises that I ask them to do that I've prepared already. And like a meditation, for example, I have a stress relief meditation. It's like 9 minutes. So it can be used pretty much anywhere, anytime. It's not like you have to sit down for an hour and do aum and say, okay, I'm serene. That's not how that works. Is that you have a situation that is stressful, or you have a pain in your body or a stress somewhere, or you can't sleep. Then you just listen to the recording for, it's about 10 minutes, and then you take a few deep breaths, and then you relax into your body. You bring love in, because love can cure pretty much everything. Too often it's a lack of love that we have towards ourselves also, and then you bring love in, and then you just ease in to the stress, and then send love to that situation instead of seeing it as a negative. Then you send love into it, and you see it in with different eyes, and then you relax into it, and then the stress just normally go away. There's also positive affirmation or another type of meditation that I have is self-love, is how to have self-compassion for yourself and to give yourself love and to forgive yourself. Because so often I myself too, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm not that great. I wasn't so good. I don't deserve this. And we pull ourselves down. So all these little tools help people just to become, you know, more attentive to their life and to become more serene and more loving towards themselves. And that makes a huge difference in reducing stress.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, how self-love, yeah. And we're not talking about the, oh, I love me and everybody else can go to, but we're talking about like real self-love where mm-hmm. you actually start to take care of yourself, right?
Yeah, it's more like self-love. People have, and my included, before I build my program, I was looking at self-esteem. Okay, self-esteem, people have to raise their self-esteem. But there's such a huge difference between self-esteem and self-compassion. Because mm-hmm. self-esteem is like, yes, you're like you have a little pump and you pump up your balloon and say, yeah, I'm great, I'm beautiful, and this and that. And that's self-esteem. I can do it. I'm an achiever. I'm a winner. That's self-esteem. But self-compassion is when you're hurting, you can hold yourself in your arm and tap yourself in the back and say, that's okay that you're hurting. It's okay to be in pain right now. It's okay to be sad. Take the time, you know, like relax into it and take a cup of tea, sit down and cry if you have to. That's self-compassion, is to talk to yourself as you would talk to your best friend. If your best friend is stuck with the flu and is in bed and it has kids around and kids has to, you know, go to soccer or go this and that, and then you would tell your friend, just first tell them they're not going, or get her parents to go pick them up and send them. Don't get out of bed. You're sick. You got the flu. Relax. Take a cup of tea and just relax. But what do we do as parents is we suck it up. We get out of bed. We drive the kids to the soccer. We do the laundry. We do this. Mm-hmm. We don't have self-compassion towards ourselves. So we have to treat ourselves with love and to give us the right to be in pain, to give us the right to cry, to give us the right to grieve. So that's self-compassion, as opposed to pushing us and say, like, suck it up, get up, and go to work, or, you know, don't cry like a baby, or whatever else people can tell themselves, right?
Yeah. Yeah, You mentioned since we're talking about serenity, and you brought up the word grief. How does grief and serenity actually come together?
Well, I think with grief is it's an unfinished story, mm-hmm. and it's okay to grieve. You know, like I lost both my parents to cancer, and there's time I'm thinking of them, and I have a tears because I'm like, oh, I wish you would still be here, but what the problem is that people are carrying a lot of resentment and a lot of to grieve in a happy state. It's much better than to grieve in a guilty state.
Yeah.
And too often people are carrying guilt towards, oh, I should have told him that I love him. I should have helped him more. And so it's more guilt towards ourselves. A lot of time, I don't generalize for everyone, of course. You know, everybody deals with guilt, grief in a different way. But I found that for the experience that I have and for myself, if you feel guilty about a situation that didn't happen and then you grieve, it's okay to miss people, right? But if you get stuck into that and stop yourself from living your life when you're grieving, then there's a problem, because you should still be able to live your life even though you're grieving someone that has gone. And at no point I don't say don't grieve, because to this day I still, you know, think of my mother and I still think of my father and miss them and wish they were there, but they're not. So right. You got to move on and be happy and be happy. Feel that, you know, would they want me to be happy or would they want me to cry all day long? So it's that, but that's a situation that needs to be dealt person to person. So in no point I want to generalize it and say do this or don't do that, because everybody has their own situation and why they deal with that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting into the last 10 minutes of our interview, and mm-hmm. Wow, this show has gone really quick, hasn't it?
It went so fast.
Yeah. Even with the slight computer mishaps. But anyway, so why don't we get into, because you're... I need you to actually spell out your last name so people can actually find you. And mm-hmm. What are some of the best ways that people can actually find you? Give us that information. And then I'm going to ask you for that one last nugget of advice that you would give people to find serenity.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, initially, I want to say that I would like to gift anybody that wants to go on my website. There's a link there, right there on the first page. The 4 Key to Happiness. So there's a PDF file, and then you can just click and fill up your information, and then you receive right away. So my website is denisebelisle.com. So Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E. My last name is Belisle, so Denise Belisle, B like Bravo, mm-hmm. E-L-I-S-L-E, like Belisle. The English people often would say Belisle. .com. And in there you have a link for the 4 Key to Happiness. And also, I would like to, if you want to send me an email, either from my website, you can click on contact me and then I'll receive your email, or you can just send me an email at denise@denisebelisle.com. And I'm offering you also a Serenity Ignition Discovery Session. So it's sort of a little coaching session where I can talk with you for 40 minutes, and then we'll go through something you want to work on, and then I'll give you a little nugget at the end so that you can work and go on your way. And if you decide that you would like to work further with me, then I would be happy to talk about that also. But I would like to offer that to the listeners.
Great. Thank you so much.
And the little nugget is something people to go on with is life should be a gift and not a hardship. So in everyday situation, look at every situation in your life and look at the positive into it. There's always something positive in anything that happens. Like for me, when I broke my ankle, the positive things is it allows me to relax, you know, because I needed to relax. I needed to take a break, and I wasn't listening. And then my broken ankle say, well, okay, now you can relax. And I'm more relaxed now than I've been in years, because I can't walk around and I can't even have my foot down. So look around and look at your life and any situation that arises there's always a positive message in there, and pay attention to those messages. And I hope to hear from you, Denise, at denisebelil.com, and send me an email, and we can start a chat.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that I'm happy that you broke your ankle, but I am going to say that I'm happy that you decided to take a break, because if you hadn't taken the break, we wouldn't be sitting here talking.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very thankful for that. See, there's always something positive that comes through everything.
Yes. It is very true that every cloud has its silver lining, to use another platitude, but,
yes, but
sometimes
they
help, right? So, yeah, because I know we've a little history behind me and Denise. We've run into each other back and forth, I think, over the past year and a half, and because it's really easy after you see Denise for the first time, it's easy to spot you in a crowd.
Yes. We're both tall, so we can see above each other, everybody else's head.
Yes, it's true, and it's like very easy to spot you. And I know we've been at different networking things for at least a year and a half, and mm-hmm. you keep saying it was like we have to like sit down and do an interview, and we have to sit down and do this or do that and figure out how to work.
But then I was so busy.
Yeah, yeah. So when it. Like I said, it's unfortunate that you broke your ankle, but I am glad that you were able to take a break from all the rigmarole, and we could sit down and actually do some fun stuff together.
Yeah. So, Michael, I wanted to know, is there anywhere you will write my website network, or should I spell it again?
I have it written down. And I'm going to actually make sure that it gets put into our show notes on our Facebook page.
All right. So people can look on your Facebook page to have the link.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Okay. And thank you for joining us today, Denise.
Michael, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. It's always fun running into you. So.
Thank you. Same
All right.
Here.
Okay.
So have a wonderful day.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. So that's today's show, and we're really grateful that Denise was able to join us today. And if, like I said, I feel bad that she did break her ankle, but it all works out for the better, because we are able to actually have a really cool conversation today with her on today's show while you're listening here to Community Living Radio. And with that, I will wrap things up and enjoy the rest of your day, and continue listening to whatever station it is that you're listening here on the NCRA networks, and stay tuned for whatever the next show is, and just enjoy your day. Thank you.